Do have a seat, and Martha will bring us our reading.
The reading is taken from Acts, chapter 1, verses 1 to 11, and that's to be found on page 1092. Acts chapter 1, verse 1 to 11. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who's been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven."
As we begin, though, I want us just to think a little bit about TV programmes or movie sequels. I don't know if you're a big fan of TV or movie, but you'll be familiar sometimes that before the next episode or the next movie, it will give you a sort of recap. There'll be a previously on, something that happened the last show or the last movie to remind the viewer what's been happening so far. And that's exactly what Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, is doing in the first few verses. I don't know when the last time was that you read the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, or if you've ever read it. But what Luke is doing here is bringing us up to speed, giving us that previously on bit of his last book. And so he's reminding Theophilus, who is the chap who he first wrote this to, as well as all of us since then, where his first book ended. Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II described her Christian faith as an inspiration and an anchor. And she said of Jesus and his teachings, "They are the bedrock of my faith." Well, here, Luke reminds us why Jesus is so very special. He reminds us at the beginning how Jesus died and then proved that he'd risen from the dead and then ascended up to heaven where he is this day. And as we look at these verses together this morning, we'll see just why Jesus' ascension, his going up to heaven, is so very important. And that's because it shows us how, although we cannot see Jesus here today, he is still very much at work on this earth through his people. Just look down with me at verse 6. Verse 6 is quite special because we're listening in on the final conversation between Jesus and some of his closest followers. And there we quickly learn that these men, they'll be called apostles from here on in. Well, they think, verse 6, that given Jesus has died and risen again, well, it's time for him to take the throne. After all, Jesus was born, he's died, tick. He's risen from the dead. He's done that as well. And so there is only one thing now left for Jesus to do, for him to be crowned the King of Israel and make it the greatest nation on earth. That's what they think. But as Jesus makes very clear, what they need to grasp, along with each of us here this morning, is that Jesus' work is not yet finished. I've got three headings for us this morning. And the first one is this: the command to witness to all nations. The instruction from the Lord Jesus himself is very clear. It's there halfway through verse 8. You will be my witnesses. Now, what does it mean then for the apostles to be a witness? Well, for that, we need to know what an apostle is, don't we? And we're told in verse 2 that an apostle is someone who's been chosen by Jesus. And not only chosen by him, verse 3, someone who's seen many proofs that Jesus has risen. Not just heard about him, but seen him alive, risen from the dead, and listened to what he has to say. We're given another definition of apostles a little bit later on in the chapter. We'll get to this more next week. But when they're looking to choose another apostle, they say it's necessary to choose someone who's been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, from John's baptism to when Jesus was taken up from us. These men must become with us a witness of his resurrection. So an apostle is someone who's alive at the time that Jesus was alive, who is still alive at the time that Jesus had died and risen from the dead, and witnessed not only his resurrection, but also his ascending to heaven. Well, that helps us understand what apostles are to witness to, doesn't it? They are to witness to the risen Lord Jesus. That is why in verse 8, Jesus calls them my witnesses. They are going to give eyewitness testimony to Jesus' story rather than their own. Having seen the risen Jesus, having heard the risen Jesus, they are now going to share the good news about him. But where will they share? Well, again, we're told in verse 8, starting in Jerusalem, but then Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. So that is, this proclamation of the risen Lord Jesus will begin in the city of Jerusalem, but it's not going to stay in the city of Jerusalem. It's not going to stop as it reaches the city gates. Just imagine, like a stone, we've all done it, we've thrown a stone into a pond or a lake or a sea. Well, there's ripples that go outwards, aren't there, in all directions. So it is, the good news about the risen Lord Jesus will spread from Jerusalem to the northern and southern kingdoms of Israel, Judea and Samaria, but it won't stop there either. It will keep going to the ends of the earth. Again, later on in chapter 1, we realize that this isn't just wishful thinking on Jesus' part. In verse 15 of chapter 1, we learn there's about 120 people in that church in Jerusalem at the start of things. But that's not how things will stay, is it? They're not to remain an exclusive club in their little Christian ghetto meeting in Jerusalem. The message of the risen Jesus, God's King, will go throughout the world, not just to all places, but to all peoples. And we sit here this morning, don't we, many of us, as evidence of just that very thing happening. Jesus' plan that the good news of how he died to rescue us will go to the ends of the earth. It's reached Arborfield. It reached Buckingham Palace. And that will all begin through the witness of the apostles. But it won't just be the witness of the apostles, but also through other Christians, normal Christians like you and me. If you were to read through the whole of the book of Acts, you'll notice one of the recurring themes is it's not just the apostles who witness to Jesus. I think Acts chapter 8 is probably the clearest explanation of this. What we're told is that severe persecution of Christian believers has broken out. No surprise then that the word for witness also gives us the word for martyr. But in chapter 8, we're told that severe persecution of Christians has broken out. And verse 4 says, those who were scattered preached the word, as they shared the good news wherever they went. They were in Jerusalem, they were scattered to Judea and Samaria, and they preached the good news wherever they went. Now we might assume, oh, well, that must have been the apostles. But actually verse 1 of chapter 8 says the Christian believers were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria, all of them except the apostles. Do you see? So the apostles are still witnessing in Jerusalem. It's the other Christian believers who've been scattered, and with them goes the good news about Jesus. Despite the fact their leaders were not with them, the believers witnessed to Jesus beyond Jerusalem now into Judea and Samaria. So it's important this morning, if we're a Christian, we need to realize we are not apostles, not in the sense described here. None of us were alive 2,000 years ago to see the risen Lord Jesus. We didn't witness that firsthand. But we do have the apostles' witness, the apostles' testimony to Jesus in the four gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So if you're here this morning, you wouldn't yet call yourself a Christian. I'd encourage you, if you want to see who Jesus is, well, start with the eyewitness testimony, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But if you are already a follower of Jesus, then we are to, as a Christian, we are to witness to Jesus through his testimony as found in the Bible. It means we're not to just to make up nice things we think Jesus might have been like. We've got it all written down for us. This is what we are to share with others. It's a bit like when I watch Match of the Day on TV. Having seen the football highlights, I can chat to people and say, did you see the European Cup final? Did you see the Lionesses win? What a game that was. Now, I can say that because I saw it on telly. It's not the same as someone who was in the crowd that day, or indeed the same as someone who was on the pitch. But I can talk about the same match, having seen that which was recorded for me by the BBC. Well, if we're a Christian, a follower of Jesus here this morning, we are to witness to Jesus, to share that which has been recorded for us in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, I think there can sometimes be a danger, can't there? If we've been a Christian for a while, we can think, well, this sort of witness, evangelism stuff, really, that's for the missionaries. But the only difference between a missionary in another country and us is location, not role. We're all called to witness where we are. For us, that is in Arborfield and the surrounding area. For others, it might be many, many miles away. But here's the most mind-blowing thought. When you and I bear witness to Jesus, what's going on? Well, we are continuing the work of our risen King. The command to witness is a command from royalty. It is by royal command. Now, this brings us to Jesus' ascension, which we read of in these early verses. Having defeated death and spent 40 days giving convincing proofs that he really is risen, we're told in verse 3. And having taught again about the kingdom of God, we read in verse 9 that Jesus is lifted up. So he's not going to take the throne in Jerusalem. He's going to ascend up to heaven. As they were looking on, Jesus was lifted up and a cloud took them out of their sight. That's what we're told in verse 9. So it is at his ascension that Jesus finally leaves the earth. He returns to heaven. But whilst Jesus is no longer physically on the earth, we mustn't think, well, that's his work finished. And that's because Luke is very clear how this book of Acts records what Jesus continues to do and teach through his people, through his church. The big clue for us is there in verse 1. It's a little word. It's the word began. Do you see that in verse 1? It's an exciting word, began, because it hints that there is more to come. And there is. Jesus' ascension, Jesus' return to heaven, that's not Jesus retiring. It's not that he started the work and he's now left you and I to carry it on. Rather, what Luke is doing at the very beginning is letting us know that in writing Acts, he's going to continue where he left off at the end of Luke, recording all the things Jesus continues to do. So we could say what we have in Acts then, sometimes you may have heard it called the Acts of the Apostles, tells us what the apostles did. And in one sense, that is true. But you could say, well, actually, it's volume 2 of the Acts of Jesus. Luke, volume 1, Acts of Jesus. Luke, volume 2 is Acts, where Jesus continues his work from heaven through his people. It is the Lord Jesus who is the focus of this book, and it is he who is with and working through his followers for the rest of it. Now, having said all that, I just want to pause for a moment and clarify something. Because in one sense, it's absolutely right for us to say Jesus' work has finished. Because Jesus' work of salvation, of rescue, was accomplished on the cross. So we can confidently say our debt for sin can be marked, paid in full. As Jesus breathed his last on the cross, he said, it is finished. And it is. Again, this is made very clear for us. Let me give you a cross-reference. It's Hebrews chapter 10. Says this, day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest, Jesus Christ, had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. There's a strong contrast drawn, isn't there? There's the priests of the temple and there's Jesus. And all these previous Old Testament priests, they had to stay standing up. Why? Because they had to keep offering sacrifices, bulls, goats, lambs, grain, and so on, day after day, no time to sit down because their work was never finished. There was always more to do, always more sacrifices to offer. But we're told Jesus, when he offered once for all time one sacrifice for sin, what did Jesus do? Well, he sat down. Why? Because he completed that work of salvation, because no more sacrifices were needed. And so because Jesus has now ascended and seated on the throne of heaven, we can be sure that his saving work on earth is completed. Jesus seated means salvation completed. Jesus has done all that is necessary for you and I to receive full forgiveness. Now, the implications of that for us are massive, aren't they? Because it reminds us, firstly, no one else can do this work. There is no other go-between. There is no other saviour. Jesus' finished work on the cross is the only way our broken relationship with God can be restored. And Jesus has done all that was necessary. It also means, because Jesus has done all that is necessary, there's nothing more for us to do to get us any closer to God. Jesus has covered it all. He's opened that way for us. So if we're a Christian believer, we should have great confidence in what Jesus has done for us. Because he's done it all, he sat down. His work of salvation is finished. But on the cross, Jesus did not say, "I am finished," in the sense that his work on earth was completed. Only his work of salvation was finished. The work of proclaiming that salvation, witnessing to the world the good news of that rescue, was just beginning. And that will happen through his followers and is still going on to this day. As we were thinking, it begins with the apostles, as they're mentioned here, but includes you and I. We are called to continue this work by being witnesses. And it is not just any work. It is a royal work. It is the work of the King. I always think it must have been pretty special to be there that day, watching Jesus ascend, seeing their response to it. They're just left staring at the sky. Over the summer, as a family, we went to the UK National Fireworks Championships. 3 15-minute shows of fireworks. So people are chatting, then the fireworks start, everyone stares at the sky, fireworks finish, everyone starts chatting again. And after those three shows, everyone piles home. But here, the apostles are so struggling to take in what they've just witnessed, that they're still staring at the sky when they're reminded, actually, they've got a job to do. Their job is not staring, their job is witnessing, the royal work of witnessing. And so rather than us get caught up in, well, how exactly does that work? How exactly does Jesus ascend? We need to remember why Jesus ascended. The answer to that was to sit at his Father's right hand to rule the world. In this passage, we're told four times that Jesus is going to heaven or to the sky. And in the Bible, that is the place of supreme authority. And that's where Jesus is. So although he is invisible to our eyes, we mustn't forget he's highly exalted by God, given the name above every name. There is no one greater than him, and therefore no one else is to have the allegiance which Jesus deserves and which Jesus demands. On Thursday evening, I was listening to the radio in the car when a royal biographer mentioned how Her Majesty had only ever recommended one book and only ever written the foreword for one book. The book was published by the Society, and it was this: The Servant Queen and the King She Serves. She bowed the knee, as it were, to King Jesus, who is still on his throne today. But Jesus is not going to always remain in heaven. We are told he will return in the future We just don't know when that will be. So whilst the disciples are standing watching Jesus up into the sky, two angels, verse 10, that's God's messengers in the Bible, that's what angels are, they appear next to them and say, "Men of Galilee, why are you standing looking at the sky?" In other words, they're saying, look, you have a job to do. What are you waiting for? Jesus will come back. In the meantime, don't just stare at the sky. You've got your orders from your king. Go and get on with them. See, King Jesus will return one day, and his concern then will be to see how his command to witness to the world has been completed. Well, just one thing finally to draw your attention to, and it's the fact that we can't do this on our own. Perhaps you've been hearing the command to witness and the fact that it's a royal command, and Jesus one day will come back to see how we've got on. That sounds a little bit frightening. It sounds difficult because we feel weak and incompetent. Well, the third and final and just as important point is this, the crucial role of the Holy Spirit. We don't have to do this on our own. So we've thought about how the message is to spread geographically, but look back with me at verse 8 again. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. Do you see? Their witness begins only after they've been empowered by the Holy Spirit. That's why earlier in verses 3 and 4, they're told to wait for what God the Father has promised. That is the promise of the Holy Spirit. Without him, they'll be useless, as would we. Without the Holy Spirit, they'll be fearful, as would we. Without the Holy Spirit, they'll be ineffectual, as would we. But once they've received the Spirit, then they'll be ready to witness. And we see that beginning in chapter 2. See, only with the Spirit will they have the courage to speak of their risen King, even though he's not with them in person and they face persecution. Only with the Spirit will they then share Jesus' love for the lost. Only then will they understand that how God sees people matters a lot more than how they see us. So the apostles will be empowered by the Holy Spirit to witness to Jesus Christ. And as they do that, they will be continuing the work of King Jesus on earth. So there is no need for pessimism or panic when it comes to witnessing. Many of you will remember this chap, Popeye, an old cartoon. But in each episode, Popeye would basically be faced with a seemingly impossible task. And he'd recognize he could not do it on his own. So what he would do is reach for a can of spinach. And as long as he got his can of spinach, that would give him the strength he needed to complete the task. Well, as Christians, we have something, or rather someone, far, far greater than spinach, don't we? As followers of Jesus, this side of Acts chapter 2 in history, the Holy Spirit is given to every person as soon as they put their trust in Jesus. We don't have to wait at all. And the Holy Spirit equips and empowers us to witness about Jesus. I don't think there's any greater encouragement, is there, as we seek to share Jesus with others, knowing we're not alone in this work. Though we are weak, he is strong. Because the same powerful Spirit at work in us, the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans, raised Jesus from the dead. That is some power, isn't it? So the Spirit that raises Jesus from the dead and the Spirit that's at work in Jesus now ruling from heaven is the same Spirit at work in ordinary people like you and I when we take opportunity to share the good news about King Jesus. We are commanded to witness to him throughout the world, continue his work, the work he began, the work he continues through his church. We get to be a part of that royal work, the work of the King of the universe. And we don't do it on our own. We can't do it on our own, which is why we're giving God's powerful Holy Spirit. So it is ordinary people of God, equipped with the Word of God, empowered by the Spirit of God, in allegiance to the Son of God, that we accomplish the mission of God. It may be that in the days ahead, we'll have opportunity to speak to others about Her Majesty. There'll be a conversation of sadness, won't it? Well, let's be praying that there is opportunity, and with the Spirit's help, to point our friends and family to the King for whom Her Majesty served as well, our King, the risen Lord Jesus. Let's have a moment's quiet and then I'll pray. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Father God, we want to thank you that the good news about the Lord Jesus did not stop when he ascended, but began to spread. We want to thank you that it did not stay in Jerusalem, but has spread to the ends of the earth. Thank you for those who first witnessed to the truth about the risen Lord Jesus to us. Thank you for your Spirit giving them courage to speak. And we pray that as your people, confident of your Spirit at work in each of us, we too would courageously take opportunities to witness to the risen Lord Jesus ourselves. Thank you that he is alive. Thank you that he is reigning. Thank you that he will return. And thank you for his call that we be a part of his royal work here on earth. By your Spirit, may we be faithful. May we be loyal. May we be clear. And would you be generous and merciful at work in those to whom we speak? We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing again. A reminder of what that royal work is. We have a gospel to proclaim. It is good news, the good news of the Saviour. We sing his glory, tell his worth. Please stand to sing as the music begins.